You're listening to the Dirt Pass Sermon Podcast, the podcast for the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene. I'm Pastor Jason Barnett, a.k.a. the Dirt Path Pastor, and my team and I strive to share the message of God's Word with you, seasoned with grace, laced with truth, and applying to your everyday life. Good afternoon, evening, morning, whatever time of day you're watching. I'm Pastor Jason, the Dirt Path Pastor. I hope you're not as cold as I am, but if you are, hang in there. The warm weather's coming. Today at RavNaz, we had an online service due to the cold and the snow, but we still had service, right? We thank God for technology where we can still worship together, albeit separate, but still together. And the Holy Spirit can meet with us in multiple places. In today's message, I look at Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus is dealing with labels placed on him and John the Baptist from the elite of society, whether it's the religious leaders or the political leaders. They had labels placed on them. There's something that labeling teaches us about ourselves and about others, and how about there's only one label that really matters. So today's message, I'm going to be coming from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19. And as you're turning there, I don't know about you all, but there is a chore that I struggle with. It's not so much necessarily doing the chore itself, although Nicole usually has to get on me to help with this chore, but it's the chore of folding laundry. And it's not that folding the laundry is hard. Although I always have to redo the towels, or Nicole has to redo the towels for me. But it's not the folding that's the issue. It's when you fold them, then you have to sort them into the piles, right? There's five of us in our household, and I'm sure everyone that does laundry can attest that you have to fold it, and then you have to sort it into either another basket for who it goes to or whatnot to put them in the right spot so the right person gets the right clothes. But that's always a problem for me. Now, it's not a problem when it comes to Ben, right? Ben's my son Ben. It's not a problem with him. You know, he's eight, so little boy's clothes look like little boy's clothes, so I can put them where they go. It's not a problem with my clothes because I know which clothes are my clothes because I wear them a lot. So I know which clothes are mine. But it seems like every time I help fold laundry and put it away, I mix up Nicole's clothes with Jaden's clothes. I don't know what I'm going to do when Jaden is the same age as a little older and is really can wear Nicole's clothes. But for some reason, I always mix their clothes up. And I'll hang a Nicole's shirt in Jaden's closet, or I'll hang a Jaden's shirt in Nicole's closet. And then when it comes to Jaden and Emerus, right, I, for some reason, mix their clothes up. I'll put Jaden's clothes in Amy's closet, and then I'll put Amy's clothes, which are way too small for Jaden, in Jaden's closet because I'm trying to not let Jaden grow up. So as I'm folding clothes and folding laundry, I have to read the labels, man. I have to put, it's not that we write the people's names on the labels. It's that I have to look at the labels to see what the sizes are so I can put them in the right spot. Now, does anybody else struggle with that, or am I the only one? Or do some of y'all just leave them in the basket in a big pile, you know, of clean clothes, and that's where everybody goes? That works for some people too. But I have to read the labels, and the labels are good and helpful for that. As a matter of fact, labels in general, when it comes to things like that, are helpful. They're good. We need those type of labels. It's when you're buying, you know, headlights for your car, it's important to read the labels to make sure you get the right size. Labels help us determine where things go, right? When you get a label maker, you stick it on different bins and you say, this, you know, this is for paper products, this is for the kids' toys, and on down the line, those labels are helpful. When you go and buy, when you're making tacos on Taco Tuesday and you're looking for salsa or the taco sauce, it's really important that you read the label on those things, right? You have to make sure you read whether it's the mild or the super spicy. If you're Sarah Curtis, you like the super spicy. But if you're not, you want the mild because you want to be able to eat and enjoy your taco. Labels are good and helpful for things like that. They're very important. But there's something where labels will get us into trouble. And it's when we apply those labels to people. When a person is given a label, it pigeonholes how we see them, how we think about them, and often it adjusts our attitudes about them. We use labels to vilify and ostracize, and we discount a person's value and contributions based on their labels. And often our labels cause us to see an enemy when God sees a person that needs him. Our passage today is one that examines the danger of labeling people and what the practice of labeling people reveals about us. And so this is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 19, and this is how it reads. It says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let anyone who has ears listen. To what should I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to other children. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a lament, but you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So here in verse 11, Jesus is giving John the Baptist a compliment. And it may not exactly read like that if you continue toward the end of the verse, but this is a tribute from Jesus to John. Jesus is establishing in this comparison, he's not comparing like the morality of one or the other. John has been a faithful servant in the house of God and to Jesus in preparing the way. And so Jesus is complimenting him on that. But what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God, those who have faith in Jesus are greater than those who don't. Those who have faith in Jesus and understand who Jesus is and are part of his kingdom are greater than those who were living by the law in the Old Testament prophecies. And again, it's not that the law is passed away or is not as good. Remember, the law is the foundation of the house, right? But Jesus came along and built the rest of the house upon that foundation. Oh, I remember where I was going with that. Yeah, so Jesus came along and finished the rest of the house. And it's not that those who built the foundation and laid the foundation and did that work were unimportant, because that's important. That is a critical part of everything and understanding everything. But Jesus completed it all. Jesus finished the work. And those of us who have faith in Jesus have the knowledge of the crucifixion, the resurrection. We know what that means, how those scriptures were fulfilled. And so we have a greater understanding of God's kingdom because we have knowledge of those events. So John the Baptist, he had faith in Jesus, but it was it was faith in Jesus to the fullest sense that he could have it, right? Because John is not going to live long enough to see the crucifixion. He's not going to live long enough to see the resurrection. John's going to prophesy about those things. John is pointing to those things through his preaching, but he only gets a taste of it. John the Baptist was sent to declare the end of the Old Testament covenant, as it would give way to a greater covenant through Jesus. And John proclaims this message faithfully. But again, John only has a taste of it. He only foresees this the fullness of this coming kingdom. Malachi 3:1 testifies about John. It prophesies about him. It says, look, I'm sending my messenger who will clear the path before me. Suddenly the Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. This was John's purpose. And this was what John fulfilled. John lived this out with his life to the very end. He's proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near, right? And Jesus can come along and say the same message, except Jesus would say the kingdom of heaven is here because Jesus was there. The Old Testament prophets pointed to that. They prophesy about it, but they don't see it. John talks about it and points to it. And he sees Jesus. He knows the day is at hand, but he's not going to witness the events themselves. So John is kind of a bridge between the Old Testament to the New Testament. I think one commentator put it as John was kind of the period on the Old Testament prophecy. Now, when John was preaching his message, many would flock to him. Many of them were drawn to the message that he was sharing. It was repent and be baptized. And Jesus, again, would preach that same message. But do you notice who it was that was drawn to John? It was the least of these. It was the outcasts. It was the beggars. It was the fishermen. It was the harlots. It was the least of these, the people that were frowned upon and looked down upon by the temple and by the religious elite. Meanwhile, the elite, both the religious and the political, they refused the message of John and rejected him. That's why here in verses 16 through 19, Jesus is going to go on and he's going to share the labels that folks would create about them. And really, they would create these labels about John and even about Jesus because of their unbelief. They had no faith in the message of God. Therefore they had no faith in the messenger. And because they didn't have faith, they couldn't see it. And we kind of talked about this in our Bible study on Hebrews chapter 3. If you missed it, it was the video version. But when we're belief in Jesus is the key to understanding Scripture, all of it. Whether you're reading the Gospels, the New Testament letters, the prophecy in Revelation, or if you're reading the Old Testament prophecies, the Old Testament history, or the Old Testament law, it doesn't matter where you read. Jesus is the key to understanding those things. And you have to believe in Jesus to see the picture. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you can read those same scriptures and you're not going to see the connection. You're going to miss it. And you're going to miss anybody sharing about who Jesus is. You're not going to take any stock in their personal experience with Jesus because you don't believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus is the key. And John had faith in Jesus. He had faith in God. But because those who were listening to him rejecting him and labeling him, they were revealing their own lack of faith. They had all the advantages of status. They had all the advantages of knowledge. But they could not see what those they deemed as lost could see. And for whatever reason, the flocking crowds, the baptisms, and even the miracles all affirmed the truth about Jesus and John. But the elite were so wrong, they refused to be right. They couldn't see it. It was one of the most ironic statements that Jesus makes in the Gospels, right? When Jesus makes the statement of, I've not come for the healthy, but the sick. And he was saying that to the people who were sick, but they were so sick that they didn't realize they were sick. They were so demented and depraved in their mind. They were so stuck in their unbelief that they could not fathom that they were wrong and they repent, turn to Jesus. They couldn't fathom that their understanding was wrong and that they needed to turn to Jesus. They couldn't see it, that they were a part of the sick too. So they missed it. So in verses 16 through 19, Jesus shares the labels that these folks say about not just John, but about Jesus too. So they hear John's message and they label John as being demon-possessed. They're saying he's a person who's a hypocrite, right? He's got some unclean spirit of him based on the way he dressed. And John was dressed kind of crazy. Like one of my favorite things about the Chosen series, you know, drama series that they've created about Jesus and the life of the disciples. One of my favorite things about it is they refer to John as Crazy John. And the way John was dressed and his diet would make people assume that he might be a little bit nuts. And the message he was sharing was so radically different that they couldn't fathom this crazy looking guy from the wilderness might be right and that they should listen to what he was saying. And so they labeled him as a demon possessed person. He was talking out of his mind. And then those same folks are going to turn around when Jesus is on the scene. They're going to label Jesus as a glutton, a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And notice they put a friend of tax collectors before they put the word sinners. Because in the Jewish person's mind, a tax collector was the worst of the worst. I think we would probably say the same thing today, right? But they would say that the tax collectors were the worst of the worst. Why? Because they were the Jewish people who had befriended the Roman enemy and started working for them to collect taxes from their own people, and they were getting rich off their own people. So they were like the worst of the worst. I mean, this was the worst label you could possibly get from anybody, was to be a tax collector, and it'd be just as bad to be labeled a friend of a tax collector. And so they say Jesus is a glutton, and they say he's a drunkard, and they say he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And it was their lack of faith that caused them to label God's servant and the Messiah with their false understanding. They were so blind that they couldn't see it. And they labeled. They made labels that were based on their misunderstanding and lack of understanding. So the labels made in this passage, they were made by those who lacked faith. They had put God in a box and then defined God's servants and movements by the box. If they were not working and operating according to this box that was limited based on their – it was built to the dimensions of their own understanding. If it didn't fit in those dimensions, then it couldn't be God, and they couldn't be God's servant. And then they would look at people and say, God would never associate with a tax collector or a harlot or the people like that, while Jesus was sitting at their table having dinner with them. When John the Baptist shows up, they labeled him demon-possessed. He was clearly God's messenger, right? He was the Elijah that was to come, right? Remember, Elijah doesn't actually die. He's taken up to heaven in a chariot. And so the Jews believed that Elijah, the prophecies about Elijah meant Elijah would come back and physically be there, the real Elijah. They were so focused on that they missed that John was coming in the spirit of Elijah, proclaiming this message from the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. They missed it. And not only did they miss it, they labeled it. They labeled God's servant, the Messiah's messenger, as being demon-possessed. When Jesus is in their midst, all their lack of faith could see was a guy who drank wine and ate a bunch of food. And the ironic thing is, so they labeled Jesus as a glutton and a drunkard, and Jesus even points this out. He says, John the Baptist didn't come eating and drinking. He came, fasting, and when he wasn't fasting, he was eating bugs in the desert. He came to prepare the way. He was so focused on his mission that he didn't worry about food and eating and drinking. And they labeled him demon-possessed. And yet with me, the Son of Man, I'm sitting down eating dinner with people. I'm sharing a meal with them. I'm drinking with them. And they labeled me a drunkard, a glutton, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners, which I think Jesus was proud of that part. And so it didn't matter. It didn't matter which way you went, whether you came eating or drinking or not eating and drinking. The message of Jesus and the message of John was so radically different, they couldn't fathom that they might be wrong. They couldn't fathom that they would need to open up their hearts and believe in Jesus and believe in God, that God was sending who he said he would send, and that Jesus was who he said he was. They lacked the faith to see that. And so out of their lack of faith, they labeled Jesus and they labeled John. Their labels came from their lack of faith. Now, you notice the ones who had the labels, what they did? It was John who was labeled. It was Jesus who was labeled. Later on, it's going to be the apostles who were labeled. Remember when the apostles, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit descends on the apostles like tongues of fire and it drives them into the street. Remember what the people say about them? These guys must be drunk. They labeled the disciples drunk when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like they labeled Jesus and just like they labeled John. But you know what they did? They were being labeled. But what did they do? They trusted God and kept ministering. They didn't worry about the labels that the world around them was giving them. They focused on God and placed their trust in Him, and they honored God by going about doing the work that God has sent them to do. They didn't label other people, they looked at them. They saw them. They spoke to him. Now, Jesus, at times, he's going to call, and even John the Baptist, they label the Pharisees a brood of vipers and blind guides and all those things, but they're not doing that out of meanness. They're not doing that out of labels. They're doing it speaking the truth, getting them to see and understand that you are so blind, you're so broken right now that you're spewing venom, and that your faith is causing you to keep from seeing what's happening. And rather than leading people in the right direction, you're leading them in the wrong direction. You're doing it with the best of intentions, but with a heart full of unbelief and lacking faith. But they kept ministering despite the labels, despite the crowd that was about them. Jesus talks about in this passage how there people are doing violence to the kingdom of heaven, right? There's two ways to look at that. And I think both are somehow correct in opposing fashions. But you can look at that and say, yeah, that when this message of Jesus proclaiming God's servants go out, they have a tough go about it. People just aren't ready to hear the truth of what God wants from them. They're not ready to surrender their lives to God, and they don't really want to do that. And so when the truth is spoken, people label God's servants and they speak out against them because they think if they do that, they label them, they speak out against them, it will cancel it. The problem is this is the kingdom of God. This is not the kingdom of man. You cannot cancel out God's kingdom. There's not a force strong enough on earth to keep God's kingdom from coming because it's already here. And it's the kingdom that is here, but it's the kingdom that's still coming as well. Nothing can stop it or hinder it. And so, despite the Pharisees, despite the scribes, despite the religious leaders, despite the Romans, the kingdom of God was advanced. And the same is true of our world today. The kingdom of God's going to be advanced. And on the flip side of that, Jesus points this out as wisdom vindicating the fact that John and Jesus, people were flocking to them. People were being drawn to the truth that they were saying. People were being drawn to what God was doing through them and in them and for other people. People were drawn to that. The least of these, they were drawn. And so when it's talking about the kingdom of heaven is being seized by the violent with violence, so yes, there's the opposition to the gospel, but there's also this, it's presenting this idea that those who were desperate, those who were earnestly seeking, there was a zeal about how they were trying to grab a hold of something different. And it's talking about the least of these two. Those who were broken and in broken lifestyles flocked to Jesus and John because the faith of these two servants of God drew the people there. They were so radically different. The message that they were preaching, the way that they were behaving and approaching people was drawing people to God. And faith in God and His kingdom, that which they could see through Jesus and they could see through John, was so radically different in them that it brought about this desperate desire in the harlots, in the tax collectors, in the broken and the least of these. They were desperate for this different life. And that different life led them to Jesus and it led them to John. And so when it's talking about the violence of the kingdom, that's kind of what it's hinting at. It's hinting off the opposition, but also off the off, off, off after how these desperate, earnest people were grabbing a hold of the kingdom. And all earnestness and all of their effort went into chasing after it. They didn't care about the labels that the elites and the were putting on them. They just knew they needed whatever it was Jesus and John had, and they sought after it. So what's this tell us? Where am I getting at with this? Where am I going with it? This tells us that there is only one label that matters. And Jesus hints at this when he says, as when he's talking about how great John the Baptist was, right? He says, as great as John the Baptist was, Jesus in verse 11 says, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Again, it has everything to do about faith in Jesus and understanding who Jesus is and what he did for us. John only got a taste of that. He knew who Jesus was. He had faith in Jesus, but he didn't see the completed work. He didn't have access to that. He just knew who Jesus and why Jesus came, but he doesn't get to testify to seeing Jesus crucified and resurrected. But you and I, God has revealed it to us through his word, right? We know that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin. We know that he rose again and is seated at the right hand of God on our behalf. We know that because the scripture tells us. We know that because we have experienced Jesus in our life. When we could not go to where he was, Jesus came to us and drew us to God. He loved us when we were unlovable. He spoke to us when no one should be speaking to us. But God spoke to us lovingly, calling out our name when we came to him. And that's why Jesus says the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And what Jesus is saying when he says that is that the only label that matters is redeemed. You can peel off every other label that the world has put on you when you put your faith in Jesus, because the only one that matters, the only one that should be seen and is going to be seen is the one that says redeemed. And Jesus will take that when you put your faith in him, and he'll slap that label over top of all the other ones. The other ones won't be seen anymore, because the only thing that will matter, the only thing that will be present, is the fact that you belong to him. But again, this implies that earnestness, that desire to want that, to want to be with Jesus, to want that different life, right? To recognize that there's something wrong with the life that you have and the way that you've been living, and that all the labels the world's giving you, you've probably earned. Some of them may be unfair, but you've probably earned them in some ways. But man, when Jesus labels you with redeemed, all those other labels are erased and disappear. Because the only one that matters is the one that says redeemed, and that says you belong to the kingdom of God. And when you and I, we get slapped with that label, right? When the only label faith in us, right? Because we have that label redeemed us, the only label that should produce for us towards others is redeemed. Not saying that they are redeemed, but knowing that the blood of Jesus has purchased their salvation just as his blood has purchased yours. And it's available to them through faith. Faith in Jesus leads us to see people, not as our societal labels see them, but as a person of value. That's why the term of lost is so important and so incredible, right? Right? When someone hasn't come to faith in Jesus yet, we say they're lost. But again, we're saying they're lost not because they're too broken and they're unfindable. We're saying it because they are a person of value. Someone so valuable that it's like a woman who's in her house looking for that one coin that she's lost. She's searching every nook and cranny. That's how valuable we are to God. It's like the one sheep that got lost and went astray. We are so valuable to God that he leaves the 99 to go find us, the one. He was too dumb to go where we're supposed to go, too dumb to follow the rest of the flock, that we just got lost in the woods or being chased by tigers, lions, and bears. Oh my. Jesus went and looked for us, and he found us, and he brought us back to the fold. That's how Jesus sees everybody, and that's how we should see everybody. Just as the father is standing at the door watching that dirt road waiting for that prodigal son to come home, you and I should be standing by the father waiting and praying and hoping too. We should look at every single person we meet, no matter how broken and lost they are, and believe that they are not beyond the redemption of the blood of Jesus, that Jesus' blood can wash them and make them clean. Because the only label that matters is redeemed. Redemption is the trading of labels. Redemption is available to all who have faith in Jesus. Are you labeled a cheater or a liar? I want you to know something. Faith in Jesus replaces those labels with redeemed. It may not undo the consequences of those things, but it changes who you are as you proceed forward, as you come out of that lifestyle. It gives you the power and the strength to keep going. It gives you the hope and the confidence to hold on to it. It helps you to change away from those broken patterns, because Jesus gives you his spirit to help you and guide you along the way. But man, faith in Jesus replaces those labels with redeemed. Are you a drug addict or a drunkard? Well, faith in Jesus replaces those labels with redeemed. That may be who you used to be. But that's not who you will be now when you place your faith in Jesus. When you earnestly seek Him and grab a hold of Him. Are you a label maker for people? Faith in Jesus replaces that with that label with redeemed. You'll stop going as you grow in your faith with Jesus. You realize that He's labeled you redeemed, but as you grow in maturity, as your sanctification progresses, you begin to realize that people are beyond what we see. We see the brokenness. We see the choices that they make. We see the consequences of those decisions and choices that they make. But at some point through faith, God opens our eyes and we begin to be able to look at them and begin to ask questions of, yeah, that's terrible, but why? Oh, Lord, why are they thinking that way? Lord, what has happened to them? What has gone on in their life that has led them to this broken pattern that's there? And as we grow deeper in our sanctification with God, He removes the labeling sheen from our hands. And we begin to see every person as someone who Jesus loves and who they died for. And if they could just have faith in Him, they were redeemed as well. Are you redeemed? Do you believe in Jesus? And do you believe Jesus' blood has the power to wash away every stain, not just in your life, but in the life of your neighbor, of your family member, or whoever it is you meet? Do you really believe that? Because belief in that kind of faith changes everything. What labels are you carrying around? Labels that shame you, labels that frighten you, labels that handicap you. Maybe you've earned them. Maybe you haven't. But no, faith in Jesus labels you redeemed. And that's the most important label of them all. It trumps all the other ones and erases them. So maybe you're listening and you haven't been living the life that God's wanted you to. God's not up there with a newspaper ready to smack you over it. God loves you and just wants you to come home. Place your faith in Jesus today. Maybe you're a believer and you struggle with labeling. The Holy Spirit wants to help you see people as God sees them. Have faith in Jesus because you're labeled redeemed. And He wants to help you see other people gain that label as well. Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Brick Passament Podcast. It was recorded live at the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene, located at 530 Main Street in Ravenna, Kentucky. You can learn more about the Ravenna Church of the Nazarene by visiting ravnaz.com. And if you'd like to send me a message, just simply use the link in the show notes.